Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the first half of going to epic rant about hash browns and OnlyFans and Occupy Wall Street coming up as well.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, space journalist and meteorologist Eric Berger, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he'd be extra pissed about those banned Dr. Seuss books if he could read. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to manage to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Of course.
Play it again. Worth it. Play it again, Brian.
But I would love to. There's a spinning pinwheel of death here.
Oh, okay. Well, screw it. All right, so Eric Berger's got a book, Elon Musk and the Desperate Early Days That Launched SpaceX. So we can talk about space and SpaceX. He has all this access and has for many years with SpaceX. Because I'm very curious about it is so ambitious. What is more ambitious? You know, you want to start a company where you sell bran muffins from your apartment. That's a little lower on the I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to Mars is, I think, about as ambitious as you can get in an all-encompassing way. So I'm curious.
That's swinging for the fences right there.
Yeah, I'm curious how that went. Things to catch up on. First off, there is an app that people can put on their phones. And Max Zapata can find it. It's like a directional finder for a friend who has the app. You know, where are they kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
I guess. But
I sadly invented this in my mind back when I was going to USC tailgates. Because how hard is it to fucking find a tailgate? You're like, just if you could plot it in your phone, I'll plot it to my phone. You just walk right to me. Here we are.
This literally would point the direction, if I had Gina and Brian in my phone, not that anybody would,
right.
But if you did, and I went like, where's Brian? It would point to where Brian is. Like, it's literally north-south thing. Like, here's, I guess in a way, it's like when you're driving in your car and you put the compass mode on the dashboard,
right.
And it's like, well, north is straight up, but you're going slightly to the right of that. But anyway, that's the direction you're traveling. Anyway,
it sounds like it's not necessarily sex grinder.
No, but it's super satisfying because something I've talked about in the past is one of my pet peeves, and I don't know, this might be part of what makes me a dick, is if I was like in a office building, like a high rise in Century City with some Comedy Central executive, and he'd go, well, where people inevitably do that thing where they go, I live in Hollywood, but I got a place in Malibu, and then they would point, you know, I got a place over in Malibu, and I would always go, you're pointing toward Hacienda Heights. And they'd go, no, it's Malibu. And I go, you're pointing toward downtown. Malibu's behind. Malibu's the other direction. And some people would laugh. Others would argue vehemently. Oof. Others, then you'd have to do a move where you go, I'm telling you, you're pointing toward downtown. And they go, well, if we go to the atrium, there's a big window where you can see downtown. And I'd go, all right, keep your finger pointing the same direction. Now, let me walk you out. No, no, don't start moving it. No, you're pivoting. You're moving. So I'm sitting there with Natalia, and we're doing our painting last week or the week before. And we're just sitting on the same side of the table in the dining room. And she goes, yeah, after this, I'm going to go over to my friend Devin's house. And then she points the wrong direction. And then I go, your friend's Devin's house is that way. And I point the other direction. And she goes, no, it's that way. Everyone always, I don't know why people are supremely confident in the direction their hand randomly goes out to when they're talking about some, but they know it, man. She's like, no, it's that way. And I go, no, she's that way. You got to go up the street and then around the whatever. And she goes, hold on, I'll find it. And she puts this app up on her phone, and then she goes, see, Devin is, and it's exactly the direction I was pointing. And I was like, I've never been more satisfied in my life. Like, hey, buddy. So, total vindication, although it shouldn't mean anything.
Congratulations, question mark?
Yes. I don't know. Anyone has ever been in that move where they go, it's that way, and they go, no, it's that way. Whatever, if it's a county or a friend or a location, to then 2 seconds later pull up on the phone and have an arrow pointing the exact way you were pointing. I was like, oh, satisfying. So,
and then can you get this clip for me and mail it to me? I'm going to need to explain to Tessa someday what a Pyrrhic victory is.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Look, it reminded me a lot of the great Annie Hall scene, or was it Manhattan?
Where, no, with Marsha McLuhan.
Yes, you clearly know nothing of my work. Like, we all have stupid arguments about nothing, and we all hope that there's some way to satisfy this almost immediately.
Yeah, Woody Allen is more or less kind of came up with the ethos of the smartphone. Right. Like, we've only had the answer right here in line at the movie.
That is now the leader in the clubhouse. The first that knocked this one off the top spot, which is me sitting at Marie Callender's, which was, I think, just called Callender's across the street on Wilshire Boulevard.
The fancy one, yeah.
That's right.
Yes, and
Callender's was upscale.
I was having one of my, yeah, you lopping off a word or two at the top of whatever it is, like. Oh, this isn't the Red Roof Inn. This is the inn.
Right.
But it's the same building and the same place. Like, okay, so.
But this Marie Callender's had a piano.
We used to go there after work on occasion, and I was having one of my discussions with the poor waitresses in my life, which is,
you get fancy diarrhea.
I want iced tea. And they're like, we have passion fruit iced tea. And I'm like, that's not iced tea. I want regular iced tea. And then she's like, most people enjoy passion fruit iced tea. And I go, I cannot imagine that if people are ordering iced tea, they want something that doesn't taste like iced tea. Can I get just regular? And she goes on this thing. She's like, most people are very happy with, and at some point, some saint of a woman, like one table over who heard us arguing, went, oh, excuse me, is it passion fruit iced tea? And the waitress went, well, yeah, it is. And she went, oh, then cancel my order. And I went, oh, another satisfied customer. Everybody loves the passion fruit. Just me and this strange woman who don't want it in here, who happened to be sitting next to each other. That was the greatest moment of my adult life. And now it's been replaced with the arrow. But
what is this app? I need it.
I don't know. I know there's ones where you can find out, like, where your kids are, how far away they are from the house. Like,
yeah, Find My iPhone is essentially that.
Yeah, Sonny goes for a walk every night, and at some point, if I say to Olga, where's Sonny? I want to eat dinner. So you want to eat dinner? And she'll go, like, he's, you know, heading down our street. He should be home in a minute. Like, she'll have eyes on
him. Tied to a stray dog.
Yeah, so
he's licking his nuts.
Go on,
he's scratching his own ear with his foot.
Oh my God, he's in lanes on the freeway. So the other version of this, or I don't know, tying it back to food and what people want and what people don't want. So I was in Oklahoma City, which is nice. Oklahoma City's a nice place. All these places you never formally thought about going to are all pretty damn nice now. And now my quest, and here's the quest, have not gone out to breakfast or eaten indoors, have not had breakfast indoors in a long time being from Los Angeles. And one of my greatest loves is going out to breakfast and eating indoors. Now, here's something you guys can agree with or not. For me, when I go out to breakfast, I'll oftentimes get like the Denver omelet, and that's just, you know, cheddar cheese and onion and cubed up ham and
pepper?
They're all pretty good. I've never really. They make them all the same. The expensive ones are about the same as the cheap ones. I mean, I'm graduating from IHOP a little here, but I'm just talking about a standard thing. For me, it's all about the hash browns. It's all, I want the goddamn hash browns. I want hash browns.
I don't want home fries. I don't want cottage fries.
Oh, ours are cubed new potatoes. But we live, the red skin, but we leave the skin on. It's like, I want hash browns. I want hash browns because it's breakfast. And there's a dance. There's a beautiful, majestic dance that goes on where you get a little hash brown on the fork and you get a little omelet on the fork and you just, you do a drive-by on the blob of ketchup. You just like,
you
don't
just graze it.
Don't dunk it. Just graze it on by. And if you get the Tabasco ketchup ratio just right, couple of splashes of Tabasco that are on the ketchup, then you just do that slide by move where you graze it, it all goes into the mouth, it's a little, the hash brown's a little crunchy on the outside, moist on the inside.
I know, dying right now.
I have not had a hash brown in 4 years, and my mouth is watering.
It's the best, but of course,
Just crispy on there.
The problem is, now here's where the fundamental problem comes in. You would like to go to a cool breakfast joint, you know, That's All Yolks or some place like that. And because they got some cool stuff on the menu and you think the stuff's generally going to be a little higher shelf, the bacon will be a little better, the meat will be a little better. But as soon as you get past the greasy spoon, as soon as you get past the Waffle House, now you're getting into a no man's land of breakfast potatoes, not hash browns. Now here's, I have the same argument as I do with the restaurant and the iced tea. You may pursue your folly by experimenting with something that isn't broken named iced tea. Go ahead, do the wild berry, do the fucking passion fruit, do whatever you want, but you must first offer iced tea as we know it, sort of like the compulsory part of the figure skating. You have to do this, and then you can go wild during the freestyle. I feel
you have to know the rules so you can break it.
Right, and I feel the same way about the potatoes. Like, it's that thing. And the wait, by the way, the waitress and waiter never have their head fully wrapped around what they're offering. They go, comes with potatoes, and then you go, hash browns? And they go, well, they're like potatoes. They're potatoes.
They're
cut
brown.
Up.
Potato based.
They're cut up. And then you go, are we talking about like cubed up potatoes? And they go, I don't know. It's like all you do is serve these things. Give me a visual, baby.
Put a ring on that player.
So it's funny. I did Brett Favre's podcast today and I was yelling about hash browns. And he's like, you ought to go to the Waffle Hut. You can get them cheesy hash browns. You can get meaty hash browns. You can get, like, I know. And I'm with you, but I don't want to go to a Waffle Hut.
Yeah.
I want to go to a cool place that has a better, more interesting selection of breakfast items. But I want my goddamn hash browns. So I went to one place.
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma City, which is this, and by the way, this is the good and the bad of these cities being, you know, progressive trendy enough and cool enough to where you walk through them and you go, oh, I could see living here one day or something like that. Yes, but with that comes the destruction of hash browns as we know it. So I go to the first place on Saturday, and Saturday's like, we have the cubed up ones. And here's the other scary part, too. You'll always eat their potato offering. You'll get all the carbs. Don't worry. You'll be just as fat as if you just won't enjoy it like you did. But you went to another place. Very good. Very trendy. Very everything. Had hash brown balls. And it was kind of interesting. It was like a ball the size of a little bigger than a golf ball, a little smaller
like a
than a tennis
puppy.
Ball. Kind of like a hush puppy. And then you eat them. And of course, the person sitting across from you goes, well, I like these, but I'd rather have hash browns. And I go, me too. So would everybody. What is that thing?
And that also means that 90% of it is just the kind of doughy, soggy potato. It's not crisp.
It's whatever it is not what you want. It's not what you grew up with. And all I'm saying is let's not outsmart ourselves, people. There ain't nothing wrong with hash browns. It ain't broke. Do not fix it. Have them. Or be fluid, nimble, and flexible enough to go, we'll just make you hash browns. We got a bunch of ground up potatoes. Like, that's the whole thing. You got all your potatoes back there. They're all fucking ground up and everything. They're all sliced up. Just
flatten it out.
Just flatten it out.
You know how I did that story a while back where whatever state it was, looked to Chick-fil-A to help with their vaccination lines because Chick-fil-A is so good at that? Mm-hmm. All these cool cottage, pardon the pun, restaurants need to look to Dupars in Los Angeles to get your hash bag base, and then you can move on to whatever you want.
Agreed. So let's get back to that world. On another bizarre note, I was watching the news this morning. I've been seeing a lot of sign language people these days because now that's the new thing. Anyone, and I think Cuomo was making a speech and he had the sign language guy next to him. Guy had a 40-year-old dude with hair down past his shoulders. And I thought, there's something going on with the hair on sign language people. I'm seeing crazy. I see everything but a crew cut. I don't see anything that I would call a normal haircut on any of these people, and I don't know what the through line is. Now, these guys are all doing their own thing. They're all cut from some different cloth, but they're never just a straight dude or woman. The women have crazy-ass hair. The dudes have crazy-ass hair. And we can all agree that certain professions require certain hair. Like airline pilots, not a lot of range. Just the same sort of normal, hey, that guy's hair is inspiring confidence in me.
Right.
There's something going on with the sign language people. It either attracts people with weird hair or people who are in it start doing weird things with their hair, but they all got funkified, weird ass hair. Thoughts.
Keep in mind, too, the interpreters themselves are not deaf. Mm-hmm. So maybe that has nothing to do with, you know, actually being hearing impaired, Gina, because they have
deaf people have weird hair?
No, I'm saying don't try to make a connection between deaf people and weird hair. I'm pre-warning you.
Oh,
no. Look, I can see your look.
Brian, no, I don't think anyone was doing
that. No, pretty sure all right. Most people are thinking that.
Let me float.
Going down that route.
Let me float a theory.
If it's offensive and I haven't thought of it, you're in a very small minority.
Let's talk about Dr. Seuss.
So here's my theory. And I mean, I was about to say I could be way off, but I think Brian set a new limit. So I might be within the realm of this making sense. A lot of those dudes and women, but I know what you're talking about, and I've noticed the dudes, they have a bit of a Dungeons and Dragons vibe.
Yes, yes.
And it's that kind of hair, like the LARPing, the live action role playing. I think that might be the self-selecting group of which you speak.
Can we establish one haircut and one windbreaker that these guys wear? Because they always inevitably pull focus. They always get me, who's not hearing impaired, staring at the guy with his crazy hair and his hands flapping around because I'm like, who is this dude? And next thing you know, I have no idea what's going on in the press conference. I'm completely sucked into this guy's tractor beam.
True, but the other side of that coin, there have been some like rock stars to come out of these press conferences. Mm. Sassy women who you just like are enthralled with.
Guys who are getting into the body movements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the ones you see like when the videos go around on Facebook of the woman who stands like to the right of, you know, Flo Rida or Eminem or whatever at the concerts.
Oh,
and
does
all the signing. Like they're starting to get into like rock stars, like sass attitude territory, which I find delightful.
The other thing I was thinking about was, let me check my notes here. Oh, so yeah, Dr. Seuss at the top of the show. So I woke up this morning and I heard that they were pulling some Dr. Seuss books or they were getting semi-canceled or whatever. I think it's its own foundation that's doing it. But the movement has got around to Dr. Seuss is really what I woke up to find this morning. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, wasn't I kind of joking? Well, I wasn't really joking, but I was talking about Dr. Seuss is going to get canceled or he's gotten canceled because he's older than a certain age, he's white, and he created a large body of work. There's the thing is if you are, I think Dr. Seuss would have been, I don't know, 128 today or something like that. If you are – old, you are white, heterosexual, and created multiple books or multiple films or multiple whatever. If you were around long enough and had a long enough career, someone's going to go back, let their fingers do the walking through your yellow pages, and then we're going to figure out why your stuff was offensive. The stuff you did in 1949, we're going to find out why it's offensive by 2021 standards. But I thought, didn't that happen? So we'll play you just the news, I think, this morning. Is it a CNN clip we have here? Yeah, here it is.
New this morning, six Dr. Seuss books will no longer be published because they contain racist stereotypes and insensitive imagery. The late author's company announced the move this morning, saying the books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Best known among the books are And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran the Zoo, Dr. Seuss. These are the ones that they were not sell.
Got it.
That's the point. It's The Cat in the Hat is still being sold. Okay. The Grinch Stole Christmas, One Fish, Two Fish. The books that I think you know really well will still be sold. Okay. These are the books that they say contain racist themes, tropes, and images. And frankly, if you read them, you can see that the way they portray Africans and Asians, among other things, is insensitive to say the least. The other books, though, will continue to be sold.
He was born in 1904.
Really interesting.
Yeah,
so,
look,
I haven't read this for a long time.
Really interesting.
Good stuff.
Good cross.
Maybe it gets into the realm of interesting. I don't know about really interesting, but okay, fascinating shit. So I said to Max Pato when I drove in, I said, "Were we talking about Dr. Seuss or something on the show a few weeks back?" And I was talking about him getting canceled, and Max Pato went and dug up this clip of Nostra Adamus. And his crystal brain from us playing Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, and this is January 10th.
January 10th.
All right, we'll stop with the poetry and leave it that to the experts like Dr. Seuss. Did you know there are 45 books, both written and illustrated by the man? Several of them have been adapted into movies, including this one starring Mike Myers from 2003, The Cat in the Hat.
Dr. Seuss is a racist, right?
Is he?
I thought Yertle the Turtle was about battling Nazism.
I think you're thinking of someone else.
No, I mean, he's been labeled a racist in the last 10 minutes. I guess he can cancel.
Roald Dahl.
He was born before 1960, and he's white,
Jewish?
Right?
Theodore Geisel.
Yeah, both those are true.
But don't we find his works problematic now? I thought we're finding...
I think he's in the clear.
All right.
He's beloved.
We'll see if you can find anything on him being his work.
Google Adam Wright.
Google me right.
Will do.
I remember hearing something. It's like, you can't create literature or art or any, or win a war. You can't do anything and have done it 50 years ago and not have some baggage hanging on you now. All right, well, we found it.
Wow. And not a friend in the room when you brought that up.
Well, it wasn't a thing a month and a half ago, and here we are, and it's all over the news.
Well, it's a thing that the reason I just sit around and kind of, I'm like the Indian who puts his ear to the ground, and it's like, he has a bad feeling. Squanto has a bad feeling. It's like, what? And the white guys are like, there's nothing wrong with this wagon train. Bad feeling.
You're touching leaves and you're letting dirt go through your fingers.
Yeah, I'm like the guy in Predator. Is that it?
Billy.
Yeah, I'm standing up on that log. Yeah, it just knew. Because there's an easy math. Just old, white, done a lot of work. We shall find something.
And we'll find it. I don't know if you saw what one of their examples is, but it's I don't see a lot of people checking this book out of the library. If I Ran the Zoo, the report says the three Asian characters are carrying a white male on their heads while the white man holds a gun. The text beneath the Asian characters describes them as, quote, helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant from countries no one can spell.
Yeah. Is that my picture, Kaylin? I went to Tessa's room this morning because I'm like, I'm pretty sure she has at least one of these. Turns out she had both the Zoo book and Mulberry Street. And there's imagery that would certainly not fly today if someone went to publish this. So it's outdated at the least. It's kind of grotesque, caricature stereotype?
Well,
I
don't have a lot of research history on this, but it strikes me that he went to some faraway land, like somewhere in Tibet or something, mm-hmm. to catch this weird creature, like to bring them back. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, he's this kid's fantasizing. If he ran the zoo, he'd go to the corners of the earth and bring back exotic animals that didn't exist. They're Dr. Seuss animals.
Right, but first things first, the corners of the earth would all have to have different people, right, who inhabited those corners.
Sure, that's
those
how
corners,
we
know. The whole
right?
book is, yeah, this guy's Russian and this guy's whatever.
Yeah, and then so this guy, so what was the description, Gina? I'm sorry.
It was helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant from countries no one can spell.
But what was the description of it?
Oh, sorry. Three Asian characters are carrying a white male on their heads.
Well, they're carrying a cat on their head.
Well, but above him.
It's a Zumba Mutt.
Well, it seems weird to say carrying the white.
Well,
I don't know
look
who.
At the dude,
how,
look at the dude on top. On top of the cage. That's what they're looking at, I think, with a gun.
But who described it that way as carrying a white male?
The research paper.
Right. But they're carrying, they're like a Sherpa in a
right.
sense. I mean, they're mm-hmm. carrying this exotic cat, and he's the white guy who came from presumably this country to nab the cat, right?
Dominated, yeah.
Yes. All right. But it's not really carrying him as much as it's carrying the cat, and he's standing on top of it. I mean, it seems weird to drill down this far. Like, the part where you go to different places where there's different people and they look different and their eyes are different and you get in their places you can't pronounce or something, I don't know why that's inherently offensive.
Well,
now,
and
the guy's got a gun, and he is on top of the cage that they're carrying, but I think there's a description of this that's probably less problematic sounding that they don't really give you.
And countries no one can spell says a little bit more about us than the people in those countries. I'm sure they can spell it.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if that one falls under the heading of, you know, deeply whatever. But the point is they're going to go find it, and it shall be brought up. And that's where we're at now. I don't know. Like, when I grew up, there was a lot of, I mean, when we all grew up, but there's a generation that grew up and they had stuff that was derogatory toward many different characters and many different cultures and many different people. But I always kind of just looked at it as I think the way healthy people would look at two drinking fountains in Alabama in the 50s. You know, I was like, well, that was stupid. But it wasn't that I didn't want to know about it. You know, I wanted to know about it and then go, that's where we were. That's how we used to think. And now we don't think that way anymore.
Right.
But my plan was never like get rid of the vestiges of it or the imagery of it.
Right. Don't publish any pictures of this time.
Yeah. My feeling is I think we all learn a lot from where we're at. And then what you could say is this guy, who is this beloved guy who loved children, even he still worked in this realm of stereotypes and this, that, and the other. Again, that way, that one to me wasn't that bad because people look different from where you're at. And there are places you can't pronounce and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, after Dr. Seuss.
That's right. And besides Brian, I would venture to guess that if silently these, you know, six books were just silently kind of, you know, taken out of publication, nobody would have noticed.
I'm still in the market for Dr. Seuss.
No, but I mean, we have a ton of Dr. Seuss books here and none of those made the cut. I know the Mulberry Street one, but otherwise, who would have noticed that these were taken out of circulation?
That's well, it's true. On now. So Seuss, even I predicted it a month and a half ago. And by the way, there's six down, but there's another 41 to go. I mean, who knows? We may
54.
add to that death toll. I got a funny Mike August travel story about Dennis Quaid to tell you about. Made me and Max Pata laugh. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with the funny Mike August story right after this.
Corolla Drinks fans, 2021 has arrived, and our mission from here on out is to make up for the miserable year that was 2020. The Corolla Family Barbecue was canceled, Mangria bar crawls were off the table, and any and all new products we wanted to roll out were put on hold. This year, that all changes. Case Club members from last year can look forward to a better Corolla Family Barbecue with more food, more booze, and more special musical guests. Plus, a signed bottle of Adam's new whiskey, 818 Rye. The barbecue is sold out, but if you decide to stay in this most exclusive club, or you're a first-time buyer, we're happy to announce the Mangria Bar Crawl is back. That's right. The Friday before the barbecue will be packed with buses, booze, Lynette, and your favorite lackeys. This Corolla family weekend will be one you'll never forget. For the 3 and 6-pack tiers, we've got you covered. Along with your shipment, you'll receive a New Year Fixed Everything t-shirt featuring Adam amongst the rubble of the City of Angels. For more info on 818 Rye and the Wine Club tiers, head to CorollaDrinks.com and help us make 2021 a year to remember. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Keith, 40, Pennsylvania. Hey, Ace, or should I say douche nozzle? Thanks a lot for talking about all those racist cartoons Hustler had back in the late 70s and early 80s. My wife just listened to that episode, and she canceled my subscription. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, on topic, you know, It doesn't mean those things didn't exist. And it also, the reaction is the healthy reaction, which is, oh, my God, I can't believe that's things that we used to do or that were published.
Yep.
And in the Hustler era, it was like into the 80s. All right. So we were getting on the flight that was going from
Dallas
to Oklahoma City, and Max Zapata reported that Dennis Quaid was on the flight with us.
Oh.
He'd spotted him.
Yeah.
And so I thought, ooh, well, maybe I'll sit next to Dennis Quaid. I love Dennis Quaid. So then I got on. We boarded the flight. It was a miniature little flight and a miniature little plane and miniature first class. And I found my seat in first class with no Dennis Quaid. So then I thought, is he on this flight? He's got to fly first class. It was a very short flight, but imagine he would be. So at some point, I think Max Pata went to the main cabin and maybe informed me that Mr. Quaid was on the flight.
Yeah, I saw him right when I walked into the main cabin.
So he's sitting against the window in coach, and he has this young woman next to him, I would say, had a lot of tats.
A lot of tats, pink hair, big, like, purple headphones. Looked like a Twitch streamer.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Could have, I don't know how old she was, 25, 24, something, looked youngish.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and so I come in and I talk to Quaid, and Quaid is going to play Dick Vermeil in the Kurt Warner story. And if you actually picture Dick Vermeil during those Greatest Show on Turf years with the Rams, you can kind of see, oh, yeah, I could see Dennis Quaid being a good Dick Vermeil.
He's gone from quarterback to coach.
Maybe that's right.
Sunday to whatever this is.
And the Kurt Warner story sounds pretty good, so he was going to do that. So I talked to him for a minute, and he had this thing where he cobbled together two masks, I think.
Yeah, so one of his masks was broken, so he wore one on the front, and then he used another mask to tie it around the back. So he had a mask on his, like, the back of his head too, just so he can keep the one in front intact.
There were both the blue sort of throwaway surgical ones, but he was double masking it. But I don't think the way Fauci would have wanted him to do it.
More makeshift.
Well, but Fauci wasn't clear when he said two masks are better than one.
True.
Maybe Quaid just went, I got two masks. One of them's on the nape of my neck, but so be it.
Technically, he's a double masker.
So he had one mask sort of around the back of his neck, and the other one was up front. I don't know if he's doing a great job of the front one either, but either way, there he was. And I talked to him for a couple of beats. And then I went and sat down, and August sat right next to the girl. So it was the aisle was full. I mean, they're now doing three people. They're not leaving that middle seat open. They don't appear to be leaving the middle seat open anymore.
Right.
So there she was. And again, you got to picture her looking like Harley Quinn.
Yeah, like an anime character almost.
She's like an anime character. I was like 24 years old. So then we got to the club, and I was talking to Mike. Chris and I were, and I was like, how was Quaid? He's like, hey, he's good. I said, how was the crazy chick? Oh, man, nervous. She was nervous, foot shaking, leg shaking the whole time. I said, probably scared to fly, huh? And he goes, probably nervous, sitting next to Dennis Quaid. And I said, he had a mask on, a baseball cap, like sunglasses. He's 67. She's 22. Shouldn't look like
she's visibly shaking.
She had her big headphones on and was playing a video game the entire time.
It's the guy from Breaking Away.
Oh. You know, Jerry Lee Lewis?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, of course, Chris and I, because we always have to have fun, which is, you think she was nervous about, her foot was moving all over the place. I go, yeah, but probably just nervous to fly. Nervous to be sitting next to Dennis Quaid, that is. I'm like, I don't know if we talked him out of that one, did we?
Plus, you got two guys on both sides of you leaning over you to have a conversation, and you don't know who either of them are.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to be a little nervous. Like, why are you talking over me?
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say she's out of the demo. I don't think she stopped him for an autograph or anything.
No.
So, but if we see Dennis Quaid next time, let's go back to Mike's story.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a plane full of fans all nervous to be in coach with you.
Yeah. Pop Rooney.
Yeah.
Why is he in coach?
Well, that was the second part of our discussion in the green room at the Oklahoma City, which is, here's what I've found. Productions will give you a first class ticket. But if you want to fly home and fly back, like, that's on your own dime. I suspect he flew somewhere and came back or did something. That doesn't feel... Or also, oh yeah, he had a Vin Diesel theory?
No, Mike said, oh, I bet he wanted to go home. He just moved to Nashville. He wanted to go home. He just wanted to get set up with the house. And Mike had this whole elaborate story of why Dennis Quaid was flying home.
Yeah, he knew exactly what Dennis ate for breakfast. The Vin Diesel. You're right.
The profiler.
He did a 10-minute dissertation on what was going on in Dennis's life and how that led to his coach seat. And I said to him, this is like that scene in Fast 7 or 6 or whichever one when Vin Diesel, I love any scene in a movie where the guy goes back to the place of the accident or the crime or the execution of his girlfriend or something. Mm-hmm. They take a knee and they like look at the skid marks on the street and then they close their eyes and they hear all the dialogue from the situation. Yeah. And then the guy pulls the gun out and they share him. She begs for mercy and he laughs in her face. Like, how do you glean all this from this set of tire tracks?
You become partly a medium when you do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's weird that when you're watching the movie, you kind of go along with it because he closed his eyes.
Right.
And he's there now. He's at the scene. So I told Mike he was doing that with Dennis Quaid.
Picked up his bag of discarded peanuts and fashioned a whole story.
I think Mike had tuned out by then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they had candy back. They had candy in the green room.
Yeah, they had a lot of candy.
Mike got into the candy.
I don't know if you brought up the Quaid or not. I doubt you did because that's poor form. The bar has been raised, set very high for portraying Dick Vermeil on screen because he was portrayed in the movie Invincible by Greg Kinnear.
That's
who
right.
Looked a ton like him and talked a ton like him. Like, Greg Kinnear killed it in Invincible. Chris, I don't know if you got that message.
Yeah, he was good as a guy who studied Dick Vermeil closely for a lot of years. He looks like somebody's lesbian partner.
Oh.
He has just but not in an ugly way. Like, he's kind of well defined, kind of attractive guy.
Like a matronly school teacher. Like, put yourself together.
Yes. If you have he will. I could see him both looking very Vermeil-y. But I could see Quaid as Dick Vermeil.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, wow.
There's Dick Vermeil, and there's, I'm sorry, who was that?
Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear, yeah. That was a good enough movie, right? It's kind of a fun movie to watch.
Everything you want out of that movie is sort of Disney-fied, but it's a great story, and it's
right. All right. Do we have calls up there, Max Pata? Oh, Sam's 27. He's calling from Philadelphia by cracky. Well, there you go. Sam?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi, guy. You're a big Dick Vermeil fan coming from the Philadelphia area, right?
Oh, I'm definitely not a sports guy. Big car guy, not a sports guy.
What's going on in Philly? How's the town? OKC, by the way, wide open. Walk into any restaurant, sit down, go to a breakfast place. Don't get hash browns, but the place is still packed. The kind of the distancing part, I'd say a lot of businesses, they're pretty good with the masks. Everyone's pretty good with the mask, but these places fill up. If you got a restaurant, you want to make money, you want to put some fannies and some booths, and they do. But go ahead, Sam.
Oh, I'm like on the suburbs of Philly. We stopped caring like 6 months ago. Everything's been open. Good to go.
Wow.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Like I said, when you come from L.A., I mean, the one good thing about doing traveling during COVID and leaving L.A. is it makes it nice when you start planning on going out to dinner and going out to eat. We went out to on Saturday to Mickey Mantle's in OKC, and they're like, here's your private room. They gave us just like a room in the back, you know, windowless room and a big banquet table. It was nice.
Yeah.
So what's your question, Sam?
Well, I started an OnlyFans like about a month ago, and I've already made $15,000. And you guys keep bringing it up on the show, so I thought I'd call in and just brag about it pretty much.
I have so many questions. I don't even know where to begin. This has been suggested to me more than once. I don't know how much TNA you got to show, but what's the vibe? Because I am very seriously considering this.
So my friends all told me I should start doing this. I model on the side. I'm a mechanic, but I do modeling on the side. So, like, you should just start an OnlyFans and see how much money you can make. So, like, 6 months ago, I started a separate Instagram, fake name and everything. And this car came up for sale, like, 2 months ago, and I didn't have the money for it. So, I'm like, if I start my OnlyFans now, I might be able to come up with some cash. So, started an OnlyFans. I have, like, 8,000 followers on Instagram, and I had, like, 400 go over to my OnlyFans. And they pay a 10-month subscription fee, and I show, you know, little this, little that, and I've made $15,000 so far.
Right.
Is it all, like, physical skin-based? I mean, does anyone do an OnlyFans where they review video games or something?
That might be this, but that is not mine.
Yeah, Gina, they don't want your cauliflower pizza dough recipe.
But
they want titties and ass.
What if I make the pizza naked?
I was going to say, you're not seeing the whole picture.
People do that. I drink whiskey naked, and people pay money for it. So
here's the thing. This is not something I ever considered in my life. Like, you know, that's not my vibe. I got things to do. But kind of the older I get, the more into, like, fuck it I'm getting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if this is a reasonable and semi easy way to make money, I'm considering this.
Well, what are we
big north of the border?
And I think people would pay for that.
What do we
fucking hey?
Yeah, they would. Well, Sam, what do you have to do? Like, how much skin do you have to show?
How much?
So, I mean, you can obviously show whatever you want. I drew the line at hard dick, because to me, anything soft, I'm good to go, and it's kind of funny to show off later. Anything hard dick, that's kind of porn, and if that leaks somewhere, it's just going to be embarrassing.
Leaks. You know, like, that's a hair trigger, man. That go off any time.
When you're offered that primo job at the Pentagon in 9 months.
Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem with their new candidate as leader for Space Force. Evidently,
what happened?
Some...
You used a racial epithet. He blackface in college. He went to one of those theme parties.
Oh, let me show you these images. He's wearing nothing but mechanics boots here and a welding mask with a super hard greased up hog.
How do we
in
know
the middle
Tim
of it?
A welding mask.
Now look, if his dick was flaccid, limp, soft, even in a leather face. Gentlemen, I could see us pushing along his nomination, but if he's got a hard dick, our hands are forced. Our hands are tied. And speaking
sounds,
of tied hands,
when you say it.
Here's some bondage imagery. Again, if he was soft. So, Sam, you get naked, but you got to fluff yourself up a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely half chub. I mean, and once again, if this leaks, I want to at least look good. I mean, come on. I don't want a full softy there coming out of a cold shower or anything.
Right.
Yeah, the self-fluff, man, there's a fine line there, right?
There
it's kind of like plastic surgery. You know, it's like it should look good, but we shouldn't know it.
It's when the veins start to show, then you got to start, you know, cooling down.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to have that conversation with my son. So how much have you made?
15 grand.
I'm at about 15 grand.
I'm
so
sorry.
And I started January 21st.
And, wow. Gina, man.
I don't have a choice.
No. No, you owe it to your unborn children.
I'm not ever going to be a homeowner without OnlyFans.
Someone's got to replace KFI.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, speaking about homeowner... these are all dudes, Sam?
It started off almost all dudes, but now I'm at almost 25% women, which is, it really makes me feel better about myself.
How do you verify that?
It gives you all statistics. I mean, there's always going to be the gay guys that go on and put themselves through as like fake women, and there's no way to really verify that, but it gives you all statistics on the people that sign up.
Hmm. I would reckon that there's a few of those 25%, namely all of them, that are still gay dudes. But
realistically, what's in it for the person to list a different gender when they sign up?
I'm just trying to make Sam feel bad. That's all. I'm not basing
it on
anything.
A lot of them will like try to like message me individually and be like, "Oh, you should send me private pictures because I'm just alone in my room," and you know, that's what they do.
Mm.
I have a question for you guys, for Brian and for Adam, put yourself in my squalid shoes, in my impoverished shoes. Mm-hmm. If this was a very easy way for me to make, I just did a story about some woman who was making 150 grand a month.
Mm-hmm.
If Lynette or Christy was like, "Look, you want a house or don't you want a house?" How would you feel? Because I don't know if I can sell this to Andy.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's one of those things I think would have been formerly weird, but every day that goes on, we're now living in a new world order. Like if you would have tapped any of us on the shoulder and said, in the future, would you like your wife posing nude so you could make extra money too? And Dr. Seuss is being canceled. You'd be like, what?
This is not real.
What's going on? But I would say the new world order of everything goes and no more judgment and whatever floats your boat. I'd say it's certainly something that would have been a hard no X amount of years ago that everyone is kind of drifting into a.
Gina, can I tell you what I did to my fiance?
Yes, please. Yes.
So I made the executive decision to not tell her for a few weeks. I think I was at like 5 or 7 grand. And then I told him, like, "Hey, just so you know, started an OnlyFans and we had a big fight about it.
I have some news for you, but first, here's a stack of cash."
Exactly. And then she's like, "Would you make like 80 bucks? And I'm like, "Nope." And then all was forgiven with a little bit of cash.
Was this girlfriend or wife?
Fiance.
Right in the middle. Okay. All right. All right. Well, look, Gina, nobody wants this more than me for you.
Thank you. Well, no, there is someone.
That's important to me.
Oh, that's right. Larry Miller does. That's right.
That's right. But here's the thing. I've spent way too much, I've decided. Looking back, I've spent way too much of my life worrying about how it was going to affect future Gina. Well, future Gina's here, and future Gina's broke. So who cares?
Okay. I was going to say, there's probably a large percentage of our male audience yelling at their devices right now for me to shut the fuck up. But would this harm or impact your things with the little one?
Oh, God, I was hoping no one would say that. But he's going to public school. They can't kick him out for this. Like
I meant more with the original, Gina 1.0.
Trust me, she couldn't be less of a fan. So it doesn't matter what I do.
She's not an OnlyFan.
She's not my OnlyFan.
All right. When Colonel Cockblock is done with his dissertation, I'd like to explore the nuts and bolts of this with Sam. So, Sam, according to my calculations, you took about 5% of your followers and moved them over to OnlyFans, right?
Yeah, that's about right.
So I don't know, Gina, do the math. I mean, how many fans, how many of those Instagram fans you got?
Gina, I would subscribe. I'll tell you that right now.
Really?
It's one fan
How much do I ask for? Like 10 bucks a month or what?
I started at, I think it was $12.99, and then I tapped it down to 10.
So I have 35,000 people on Instagram.
Mm.
So 5% of that. I don't do math. I just show my tits.
That's 1,500, right?
And let's say 15 bucks. Thank God you stepped on it. Say 15 bucks a month.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but you have to kind of look at it like what percent of your fans are following you because you're hot versus the stuff you cook versus because you're on the Adam Carolla show, all that
very,
kind of stuff.
Very, and, very you know, percentage.
Versus all my followers were following me because I was hot.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I don't think I'm hot. I just think there's enough curiosity about what I might look like naked that they'd be willing to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that.
What are you agreeing with me for, Adam?
No, I know. I think you're hot. I think there's a high curiosity level. I think there'd be a strong tune-in factor.
Yeah.
And
tune-in Tokyo factor.
At 17.5 at 15, you know, you'd be up around, I don't know, 26,000 bucks a month or something like that.
Gina moves into a fucking palace.
Or somebody can do that math. Well, see,
but you also have to consider OnlyFans will take 20%. So my real number, I think I've made like 18 or 19 grand, but you know, they take 20.
Right, mm-hmm. I'm really opening my eyes.
Right. Yeah. You'd be a little under, I think you'd be about 26,000 bucks a month. I think I did that math in my head. You guys can figure that one out.
Okay.
What this is 15 times 17.5?
312,000-ish a year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a year. I was
trying, that's life-changing money just for showing
my, that is.
I was trying to do my monthly thing, but that'd probably work out. Now I got to do another fucking math. Max Pat, I see. Can you figure that one out? What is 15 times 17.5? Garrett, or go get Gary. His dad's an accountant.
262.5.
So
26,000
a month. Can you guys believe I was a horrible student? Horrible.
No.
It's weird,
yeah,
right? I just worked out your 26,000 bucks on the fly. But I was a fucking horrible student. I got to believe somebody dropped the ball.
Yeah.
I must have fallen through the cracks.
If only we can find the culprits.
Yeah, well, there's Jim and Chris Carolla. But, you know, what about Mr. Tomey, my counselor?
A lot of blame to go around.
A lot of blame to go around. All right, Sam, we'll keep you posted. Gina, I would respect you and support this.
Thank you very much.
Kyle, 37, from Phoenix.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Guy.
Yeah. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to call and tell you real quick, in light of the big anniversary last week or week before or whatever, thanks for all the shows. Thanks for all the entertainment. It's been awesome. Kind of inspired by you and kind of pushing people to go be better than what they're doing. I'm in the process of a career change right now, so thanks for that.
Good. God bless.
And just curious, so the first show I ever heard was recommended by a buddy of mine on an economic level, ironically, and it was a wild rant from you about Occupy Wall Street, and I don't know if you even remember it, but that was the first one I ever heard, and I've been a daily listener since then. Do you have any recollection of that?
No, I just remember that somebody brought it up. I went on some sort of tear on it. And it somehow got some traction. It resonated with people, or they shared it or something.
It was right after the L.A. Auto Show, and you were comparing self-entitled assholes during Occupy Wall Street to people who shit on the guys who won the L.A. Auto Show because, you know, other people who couldn't handle it, they weren't as good as them. And I'm a mechanic, grew up in automotive, and now I'm in aviation, and And so it just kind of rang home with me, going to a ton of shows and building cars for shows and stuff like that. So
it's not like me to use an automotive metaphor, but if you say so.
It does happen. Yeah, every once in a while. Roman.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Kyle, and thanks for listening. I do appreciate
that. Yeah, man, keep it up. Love you guys.
Wait, what's the coolest car you've built?
Coolest car I've ever worked on was a 1953 Ferrari 340mm for the Mille Miglia stuff.
Ooh, the Mille Miglia, which they...
Yeah.
Yeah. They
made six of them. I think there's only three or four left. We worked on one for a lawyer up in Chicago owns it, and we were tuning it up for a rally down in Peru, I believe. We're getting ready to send it out there.
God, look, it's so crazy. I'm amazed at so many people who do so much with their life. I can buy this crazy priceless sports car and send it to Peru, and then I'm just going to go drive it on this course or on the street course or whatever. And then there are other people that never leave the fucking sofa and fret about everything. Are you guys kind of surprised that there's this much range in human beings? You know what I mean? Like I went to the OK Zoo and I got to go
terrible name
backstage. I know. OKC Zoo. And I went back and they gave me this little private tour where the elephants were being taken care of and housed and stuff like that. And they have their trainers with them, and they do the thing. They give them a little food treat. The elephant puts their foot up, and then the elephant opens its mouth, and then the elephant lays down. And it all looks like they're training the elephants to do tricks. It seems like they're at the circus, you know, like get back on your hind legs, open your mouth, put your foot out, you know, do all these weird, like weird yoga positions and stuff, these giant elephants. But they're really just training them so they have access to their feet. If they have to work on their feet or if they can see inside their mouth, you know, or they can draw blood from them, they can call them over to the edge of the cage and they'll like lay down. They'll get down on their knees and they get the blood out.
Right.
Well, all this stuff. But all elephants basically respond to the same thing and do the same thing and kind of act the same way. And like some of them have little personalities, like, well, this one can be a little moody, but once you show her the banana, she loves the bananas or the cantaloupe or whatever, she'll come over or whatever. So it kind of struck me. They had the baby one. They had like the mama one. They had the big bull one, you know.
There's nothing better than a baby elephant.
There's nothing better. And the little baby's learning the tricks, you know, and doing all the stuff. But I was kind of thinking to myself, I wish humans would be a little more predictable. You know what I mean? Like,
less range.
Why do we have, why so much? I mean, maybe that's why we're humans. But why is there an Elon Musk and my mom's friend Zorback, the hippie from the city? Why they're both God's creatures? Yeah. Why do they show? Why is one of them so much this way and the other one's so much that way? And then you know, when you're done watching the elephant and these trainers, which are like saints, seems like all women that I saw, but there's probably some dudes in there, and they're just there every. I was like, how often do you do this? Like every day. Sometimes twice a day. We have to check all their shit, and they do all their stuff, and the elephants get all their treats and everything. And then you're driving back, and you're sitting in the back of the Uber, and you pass by the federal building that Timothy McVeigh blew up.
I was just about to say.
And you're like,
we can produce a Mother Teresa, and we can produce a Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, a lot of range. I just don't feel like they have that. Like, there's no elephant version of, well, that elephant takes care of all the elephants of the world, and then that one blew up the zoo. It's not as much range. That's all. I don't know. Maybe that's maybe it's ultimately a good thing that there's so many colossally different human beings, but I don't know. Look, I'd like to throw out, but then now you got to think about it. Do we trade a Tim McVeigh for an Elon Musk? Now, that's pretty easy because there's a bunch of dead people. But do we trade the bad ones for all the magnificent ones that are doing crazy things or bringing innovation or medical, the ones that saved millions of lives with medical innovations, you know, Madame Curie or something?
Leaving out the extremes like Tim, well, let's even include him. Would a point of argument, would the great people seem as great without the Timothy McVeighs? You know what I mean? Like, of course, they would do great things, but even like the mundane, the great among us, the ones who, you know, do a lot of charity or the whatever, you know, would that person seem as great without evil in the world?
I think they would, but it's always nice to have that loser sibling. I think we all know which one I am. Just so there's a little contrast. I'm with Brian. You know what
because
I mean?
Even if you're not doing your best, yeah, you could say at least I'm this.
Because if Elon Musk is my brother, then I become the black sheep of the family.
Right.
Every Dennis Quaid needs a Randy.
That's way to bring it full circle.
Wow.
All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Well, sure you do. I bet you work hard. How about you get a little bundling going? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and your renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. Speaking of auto, I took a few Uber trips while I was in OKC. I'm kind of liking it. I like the conversations. As crazy as they are, as I'm having with a lot of these Uber drivers about where they were from, they all seem to have relocated from somewhere,
sure.
Hence they're Uber drivers. And they're always telling me about the guy took me to the airport. He was in the service and tell me about where he used to live. And I'm realizing that I think Uber drivers are kind of the new bartenders because – when I grew up, I would watch TV shows, and it was always the bartenders like, having problems at home with the old lady. Tell me all about it. But I don't feel like bartenders talk to you anymore.
No, far from it.
They're mixologists. No. They're not bartenders.
Right.
The place is too loud. They're too busy making an 18-step drink.
Yes, but the Uber guys and gals, they got all the time in the world. And I've just gotten hold of some of the most colorful Uber drivers. And I know people have this thing where they kind of don't want to talk to strangers, but strangers, here's the way I feel about talking to people. You either want them to be dear, proven, conversational friends you just look forward to talking. You know, you get to talk to a Mark Garagos or a Dr. Drew. It's like, oh, good. I love talking to those guys. Or give me the stranger. I don't want the in-between. That sort of friend is a friend of your wife, but you kind of know her.
Drag it out of them.
You got to be nice. You got to pretend. Yeah. I want the brand new conversation. And OKC had some of the best Uber drivers, the best conversations. And I don't know. What do you guys feel about that? You had any good Ubers lately?
Well, not for a year.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is you've come a long way from I believe it was our Uber.
You want a silent button. You wanted a silent button.
Yeah. Well, that and you just were, you were nonplussed with how slow he was going and how we were like behind like a Mack truck. And you let him know and you let us know, making sure he heard.
Yeah.
Well,
you softened.
That's still a very important conversation I'm having.
That's right.
With my Uber driver.
Have you guys ever seen an Uber driver drive this slow back there?
Well, listen, I like to get where I'm going and you got to have the desire to arrive. So anyway.
That's right.
All right. Well, speaking of Elon Musk, and we're going to talk space and space exploration with Eric Berger, who's a journalist. He's a space journalist and a meteorologist. Got a book. Take a quick break. Come back with Eric Berger right after this.